the role of the accountant is evolving into not somebody who examines, records, and organizes financial information, but somebody who makes sure that the right information in the system is going into the right place.
Hey gang, welcome back to Future Proof. I'm your host, Bill Sheridan. Another good one for you this week. My guest today is Rick Telberg. He's the founder, president, and CEO of CPA Trendlines. And if you're not familiar with it, you should be. Rick and his team offer up some really insightful and important content, commentary, analysis, research about the accounting and finance profession. Just really good stuff, important stuff, useful stuff. Rick's an old school journalist, but unlike so much of journalism today, he stayed relevant by creating kind of a new school niche for himself in this area of combining what he's always done, which is creating and curating content, with this notion of collecting data, conducting research, and providing accounting and finance professionals with what he calls actionable intelligence. And really, it all boils down to what journalism has always been about, and that's informing people. So Rick's got his ear to the ground in this profession, maybe more than most people I know, and he always has some interesting insights into where this profession is going. So we're going to have a conversation with Rick. First, though, I stumbled across this on LinkedIn, and I wanted to share it with you. My boss, Tom Hood, actually found it. It's a couple of interesting stats from a guy named Mike Quindazzi, who is a business development leader and management consultant at PwC. So Mike offered up a couple of numbers about artificial intelligence and its potential impact on the profession. The first number is this. It says 60% of workers are worried about future generations of their employees being automated away by AI. So 6 out of 10 say, yeah, this might be a problem. This, you know, a lot of my workers could be automated away. But only 10% of workers believe that their job is currently at risk. So only 10% think that their job is at risk. 60% say that future generations might be at risk of being automated away. So in other words, it's a future problem, right? I guess the other 90%, though, had better pay attention because these machines, they're getting smarter exponentially. And that could impact them sooner than they think. This, though, is really what caught my attention. 82%, again, from Mike Quindazzi at PwC, 82% of business leaders plan to implement some form of AI solution within the next 3 years, but only 38% of those leaders are currently reskilling their employees so that they can continue to remain relevant and provide value in this age of automation. So there's a bit of a disconnect there, right? Leaders marching bravely into the future and yet not investing in educating their people so that they can come along for the ride, right? And it's time to start closing that gap, teaching our people the skills they'll need to remain relevant going forward. And those skills aren't necessarily technical skills. They're things like collaboration and anticipation and change management, how to lead, you know, those so-called soft skills that are really actually hard. So, in my mind, it's a mindset shift, and it starts at the top. And as Tom says, you can start by creating awareness in your organization about what's happening and where this profession is going. And then after that, throw some resources at the problem, right? Look at some options and opportunities to reskill your people. This is hugely important, folks. And clearly, it's not a priority with a lot of folks, and that has to change. We've clearly got a lot of work to do in this area. So, and even so, getting back to my guest today, Rick Telberg, he is, in his words, bullish on the future of the accounting and finance profession. Despite all the chaos in the world today, or maybe even because of it, Rick says it's a great time to be a CPA and that this profession is going to be more relevant and more needed going forward. So this was a really fun conversation to have. Rick's a friend, but he also knows a thing or two. And when he talks, it's worth paying attention to. So pay attention, everyone. Here's Rick Telberg. So, Rick, thanks for being here, by the way. I'm going to start off by saying, you know, I'm worried about you, man. We're dealing with a lot of stuff, a lot of weird, new, crazy, complex stuff in this profession, and the accounting and finance pros that we work with are kind of, you know, struggling to keep their heads above water with all this change and complexity, which means that guys like you who cover this profession are kind of trying to keep your head above water, trying to keep them informed about what's going on. So I guess my first question is, how are you dealing with all this new stuff that you have to report on and stay on top of these days?
Well, it's not easy, but it's a great time to be an accountant. I'm bullish on the accounting business. If you look around, accountants are too. I think the reason that we have so much M&A activity is because accounting firms recognize the opportunity in investing in other accounting firms.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we have so much lateral movement among partners is that the owners of the tax and accounting businesses see the potential, see the opportunity. The reason that we have a talent shortage, and we can dispute some of that, but the reason we have any kind of capacity issue is because the demand for the kinds of services that only tax and accounting professionals can provide is unprecedented.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The world has never been so complex.
Yep.
And the world has never needed people like accountants to demystify things for clients. It's a great time.
Yeah, oh, it is, without a doubt, for all of those reasons. And on the other hand, let's talk about something like you mentioned M&A. I think the thing that keeps coming up in conversations that I have with folks is that it's all of this M&A activity is really kind of changing the landscape of the profession, if you will. I mean, it's resulting in, or is it, fewer firms, bigger firms? And how is that changing the accounting and finance profession in your mind?
Well, I think we're actually getting more firms, if you define them as business units. There are fewer traditional firms.
Mm-hmm.
There are fewer people branding themselves as CPAs. More and more are branding themselves as the trusted advisor, like everybody's been telling them to do. They're doing it.
Right.
The bigger firms are getting bigger. At the same time that you have this process of consolidation, you also have a process of deconsolidation. For as many mergers and acquisitions there are partners and partner groups. There are accountants who have a book of business who are going out on their own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily calling it a CPA firm. Maybe they're a valuation specialist. Maybe they're a cybersecurity specialist.
Yep.
They found a niche, and because of the breakdown in geography in this new borderless world, where the world is flat due to technology, they can practice from anywhere, for anyone, at any time. I mean, all you really need in this business these days is a laptop and an iPhone, and the laptop is optional.
Yeah.
Because the power in the iPhone is more than we use to put men on the moon.
That's really, I mean, that right there is such a, I mean, it's really leveled the playing field in a lot of ways for a lot of these smaller firms, these smaller organizations. I mean, and I know of one firm that actually hired somebody half the country away without ever having actually met the person face to face, right? They conducted the interviews online. They did everything virtually. The person ended up working virtually, and I think, you know, you're seeing, it may not be prevalent throughout the profession, but you're seeing more of that, and it's really kind of interesting to see how that is shaping things.
And it's not just going on in the profession, it's going on everywhere. Skype or Zoom is the new meeting room for a job interview.
Mm-hmm.
I know when a institution of higher learning, a college, was hiring in its finance department, they had somebody inside the department who they really wanted to promote, honestly. But obviously, they had to post the job. And when they posted the job, they did the job interviews by Skype. In order to conform with all the rules and regulations of hiring these days, they also had to interview the internal candidate by Skype. So not only is Skype, you know, a tool of last resort or convenience, it is required.
Yep.
It's like a pencil without an eraser, if anybody remembers pencils. Yeah. it's just a part of doing business these days.
Yep. The other thing you mentioned when you were talking about being bullish on the profession is this issue of talent and the so-called, you know, hunt for talent, people scrambling to find good talent, meaning that the demand is really high. And we've also seen statistics that point to the fact that fewer, although there may be record numbers of students studying accounting, fewer of them are actually sitting for the exam and becoming CPAs. Is that, I'm wondering what kind of impact, if any, you think that that's going to have long term on the profession? Or is it just kind of an evolution of, when we talk about the CPA profession, we now talk about, you know, the accounting and finance profession. What are your thoughts about all of that?
Well, I think we have to look broader than the profession. We have to look at it in broadly macroeconomic terms and understand that it is a collection of industries. Mm-hmm. There is a tax industry. There is a bookkeeping industry. It is a valuations industry. There is a executive recruitment industry. There is a planning, wealth management, and you can go on. All these are sort of separate. We would call them service areas, but if you look at it from the big picture, they're distinct lines of service or distinct product offerings mm-hmm. that can be delivered not necessarily only by a CPA firm. I mean, what monopoly does a CPA firm have on doing taxes? What monopoly does a CPA firm have on doing bookkeeping? The only monopoly is on audits. Obviously, that is a economically large part of this collection of industries, but a small part of the dynamic as it affects so many of our members and followers and our constituencies. Yep. So the fact that there is a quote unquote talent shortage for the profession, or that people are turning away from the CPA credential, is a canard. It's a red herring. It's not relevant. Mm-hmm. The businesses in our industry are hiring more people than ever before. They're not necessarily accountants. They're paying more than ever before for people. Salaries are at record highs on average. And they're looking for the right talent. There's not necessarily a people shortage. We call it a talent shortage because there are specific talents, skills, training that businesses need in order to fill out their product and service offerings. And that's the stuff that they don't teach you right. in college. Yep. Our educational system is woefully behind in what the market needs. And our profession has failed to fill in the gap. It used to be, we had a whole system of apprenticeship. I mean, part of the 150-hour rule was built around the idea that you would serve as an apprentice, basically. Yep. indentured servitude, some would call it. And the bigger the firm, the more indentured it felt. But we don't need those entry-level people anymore. We don't need people to key in data. We don't need people to rifle through files and tick and tie. That is more and more being done by automation. The records are already digitized. The role of the accountant is evolving into not somebody who examines, records, and organizes financial information, but somebody who makes sure that the right information in the system is going into the right place. Yep. And so it's not garbage in, garbage out. And that's where it takes intelligence, still human intelligence, and training and experience. So the talent shortage is one of the most bullish signs I can think of for this industry. It needs people.
Yeah. And I think that in itself is kind of changing the way that a lot of these firms and organizations actually look. I mean, if you take something, for instance, like this notion of big data, and just having access to more and more data than we've ever had before, it's changing the skill set that the folks in this profession actually need. I've heard more and more people say that data analysis is one of these kind of future ready skills that accounting and finance pros are going to need, to the point where that I've heard some folks predicting that, you know, we're going to see in very short order the C-suite consisting of, you know, a chief data officer or something along those lines, that type of thing is going to be represented at the highest levels of these organizations going forward. And I think that kind of speaks right to that point, that the skill sets that we're going to need going forward are changing.
Well, you're right. You're right. There's something very specific about the term data analysis. But if you step back and think for a second, that's what accountants always do. they look at a bunch of stuff that nobody else understands.
Yeah.
And they figure it out and explain it.
But the way they do that now is changing. It's like they're telling the stories behind that data rather than just manipulating it or crunching the numbers or, you know, that type of thing.
Exactly. And that's what the best professionals always do, whether you're an accountant, a doctor, or a lawyer. The ability to tell the story behind the data. A doctor who can explain why it hurts where it hurts and what you should do about it is a wonderful doctor. He has a great bedside manner. A lawyer who can break things down for a client in trouble, well, one thing, save a lot of billable time, and save the client and get them out of trouble. It's what the learned professions have always done throughout history. Well, one of the things that we can't lose sight of when we're talking about accounting as a profession, is that there is a higher calling. There's a higher calling than just serving a client or billing out time or pricing a service. The higher calling is delivering objective truth, sometimes hard truth, but dealing in the facts and not just the data. Dealing in what the data says. This is something that accountants really have always been chartered to do. They're one of the few professions that actually have an obligation to the public as opposed to an obligation to the client.
Right, right.
That puts them in a unique moral position. They already have the moral high ground as a trusted advisor. The market just expects them to deliver on that. The ones that do, the ones that are doing that, are finding fantastic success. The ones that aren't are just sort of migrating out of the business.
Yeah, yeah.
So the complexion of the business is changing.
Yeah.
It's changing in the way that everybody said it would and should. The survivors in this economic battle are the ones who can evolve.
Is that, and I'm wondering if that's almost kind of what he meant by, and I'm referring here to Barry Melanson, who has, you know, been on the record a number of times saying that, you know, we won't recognize the vast majority of CPA firms within the next 5-10 years. And I think he was referring specifically to the impact that advancing technology is having on the profession. But I think there's also a notion of what you're saying in there as well, that, you know, the folks who can't or won't make these changes are, as you said, migrating out of the profession, and it's becoming kind of I don't know, for lack of a better word, a new look profession almost.
And that's a great new word for it. There is a new look, and I think that if you took an accountant from 20 years ago and walked him into him or her into today's firm, they'd be completely lost. There's three monitors on every desk. There's a scanner over there. Things are beeping and blinking. People are working in open offices or offices without walls.
Or they may not even be in the office at all.
They might not be in the office, and certainly no one's wearing a tie. So, you know, the person, the accountant from 1998, if I have the arithmetic right, 20 years ago, couldn't find a job in an accounting firm today.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I'm curious what, you know, predictions from the likes of Barry Melanson and others about how quickly this profession is changing. What does this profession look like to you 5 or 10 or 15 years down the road? What's the future look like for you for this profession?
The answer is that we already have some firms that are looking the way they're going to, the rest of the profession will look in the future. We have some accountants working the way accountants will be working in the future. Obviously, we're going to see more virtual work, remote, mobile. Obviously, we're going to see a mastery of artificial intelligence and machine learning, and at least 2 or 3 technologies we haven't imagined. Yeah. I mean, 10, 20 years ago, we didn't really imagine artificial intelligence or machine learning or blockchain. And so there's 2 or 3 things we're not going to we just can't imagine.
Yeah, why you mentioned that, I'm of the opinion that, you know, if our technology continues to advance exponentially, and all signs point to the fact that it is, then you almost have to start with a realization that almost anything, technologically speaking, is going to be possible going forward. And you're right. I think we're going to be seeing stuff impact this profession that doesn't exist now and that we couldn't even begin to imagine.
Exactly. So the key skill is not necessarily learning how to cope with change, not change management. The key skill is not about learning new things. The key skill, pardon me, is unlearning things. Mm-hmm. The key skill is forgetting old ways of doing business. The key skill is how to push that stuff aside so that you break bad habits,
yep,
and replace, yep, them with new and good habits.
Yep, yep. That's who was it? A futurist that I was talking to recently said our problem isn't legacy systems; it's legacy thinking.
Exactly. That's the right way to talk about it. Mm. And I think the healthiest approach, the most prosperous approach, is just going into work every day and understanding it's going to be different than yesterday. Going into work every day and finding something to stop doing.
Yep.
Not necessarily look for something to change or improve. I mean, there's plenty of things that you can change and improve. It's not hard to find imperfections in our workflows and our systems. The hard part is some bad habit. I mean, the habit I would like to break is looking at my email too early in the morning. Because if I start down that rabbit hole of my email inbox, I won't get to my first appointment of the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm personally working on the bad habits that I've developed around email.
Yeah.
Which at one time didn't exist, and we developed all sorts of habits about email, mm-hmm, and we developed habits for sorting and filtering and sifting, flagging, reminding, snoozing, pausing. I think that speaks to the onslaught of information that we're facing every day when we sit down and we look at the screen for the first time of the day, whatever kind of screen it is. Mm-hmm. The challenge is legacy thinking, like, well, maybe, here's an idea, maybe I don't have to look at a screen.
Right.
Okay, let's just put that out there. Suppose we start with the notion that we don't have to look at a screen, right, at the first thing of the day. What if we broke that habit?
How does that change?
How does that change everything?
Yep. Yep. And that, you know, that may very well happen. I've seen technologies in kind of beta form where, you know, any surface becomes a screen, you know, your countertop in the kitchen or the side of your refrigerator or whatever the case may be. So it's almost not having to look at a screen, but the entire world becomes a screen. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Or how about, you know, open the shades and just have a conversation with Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa and Siri and Google's assistant are comically underdeveloped.
By getting better. I don't know if you saw the video from Google's meeting not too long ago where they ran a simulation of their home assistant making a phone call to a hair salon to make an appointment for a human being. So this was a virtual assistant, Google Home, speaking to a human being over the phone and understanding not just the words the person was saying, but nuances in the conversation and asking questions in return. And it was incredible. So, I mean, these things, while they are underdeveloped right now, they're getting better.
They're getting better at a pace that can only seem frightening. It's easy to envision a day where screens as we know them are either everywhere or nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy. How old is CPA Trendlines now?
CPA Trendlines has been around since 2004. It wasn't always called CPA Trendlines. It started as a blog, just a place to collect information for the consulting work I was doing with clients. Eventually, the blog took over, started gaining followers and traction, and it's now as big a business as the consulting I do with CPA firms and with the vendors that serve them. CPA Trendlines has 200,000 subscribers. We have, I guess, about the same number of followers on social media. We're in the business of providing what we call actionable intelligence for the tax, accounting, and finance community. And by actionable intelligence, we mean data-driven information for mm-hmm. people to make better decisions about mm-hmm. where to go next, where to invest their time and money for the best return on their investment. For that, we get into an iterative conversation with our audience. CPA Trendlines is really driven by its audience. We're active on social media. We're active with research and surveys. And the people who participate in our surveys get the top line results from them as then the first to see them. So we're constantly measuring, taking the measure of, checking the pulse of the business, looking at new trends in technology, new trends in staffing, new trends in how, you know, in work situations. One of the things that we're looking into at the moment, as a matter of fact, is that 75% of the accountants that we're hearing from say that they're going to be increasing their technology investment this year,
mm-hmm.
which is far above what historical levels are. And so I think this year is a year for radical change. This year is the year when people in this business have heard enough, they've thought it through, and they know this is the year to get it done. Partly it's the convergence of enabling technologies, which have become stable, have the right levels of security and familiarity. So we've got the technology piece figured out. Also, we've got a new tax code, which changes everything. You can't coast on the old tax code anymore.
No.
You have to deal with it. And at the same time, we have a healthy economy. I mean, the second longest recovery in history so far. And that can't last forever.
Yep.
So we have a window of opportunity here for the profession that many firms are taking advantage of to make the changes that they always knew they would and should. And now they must. And if they can't, then they'll probably migrate out of the business in the next year or two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're saying this isn't really theory that you're talking about here. This isn't just an opportunity for them to do this. You're actually seeing firms start to make these changes. I mean, we've been talking to them for years now about how they have to stop spending so much time looking in the rearview mirror and start looking ahead. You're saying that that's actually starting to happen.
It's happening. It's happening. And not only are we seeing 75% of the accountants saying that they're going to be increasing their technology spend this year, but we're getting about 78% last time I checked, saying that they'll be working smarter, not harder, coming out of the busy season this year. 60% of firms say they had a better year than the year before. At bottom, that means profits. So firms are more profitable. They have more free cash flow than they ever had before. They're investing it in new client services by acquiring talent or networking, connecting, merging, acquiring other firms, and then upgrading their tech stack. It's happening. We can see it happening. If you listen carefully, you can hear the hammers being taken to the old monitors.
Bottom line here, it's a good time to be a CPA. You're bullish on this profession.
Absolutely. Owners of tax and accounting businesses are making more money than they've ever made before. Partly that's because they're operating more productively with technology. That means that there is less need for entry-level staff. So they're saving money on labor costs. It's not a good time to be a newbie in this business. It's not a good time to be a newbie in any business.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the fact of the new economy that we're confronting, is that if you're a newbie, if you're unskilled and inexperienced, it's hard to find a place.
Right.
And as a society and as a nation, we have to deal with that. We have to find ways to provide opportunities and the ladder of upward mobility for everyone in this economy. Traditionally, the accounting profession has provided that. Traditionally, the accounting profession was the first white-collar generation in an immigrant family's history. Mm-hmm. They came here, they settled, they went to work in factories, good, solid blue-collar work that paid union wages, and sent their kids to college. Those college kids became accountants, and they were the first college graduates in that family.
Mm-hmm.
And those kids now are grown up, and they're making more money than they ever thought they would. The next generation of accountant that we're developing, starting around the age of 30, where you can start to build a book of business, and you have the level of experience to be a master of the material and to work with people, they're redefining and reinventing how this business works. One of the things that we're seeing, for instance, is in the cannabis sector, where firms are completely reinventing themselves because they're dealing with a kind of wild west, of lack of rules and regulations, or difficult rules and regulations, and they're teaching a whole industry how to do accounting and bookkeeping, an industry that was run by amateurs or underground on the black market. And so some of the most innovative things we see happening are happening in these new niches like cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the places to look for innovation are firms that are working with e-commerce clients. Precious few accounting firms still can work effectively with e-commerce clients. But the few that can are learning as much from the clients as they are teaching the clients about how to operate.
Yeah.
And so e-commerce businesses are businesses built in the cloud.
Right.
So to serve those businesses, you have to be in the cloud. E-commerce businesses are highly decentralized.
Mm-hmm.
To serve those businesses, you don't need to be centralized. You shouldn't be centralized.
Right.
So if you look at new industries like cannabis, or you look at new industries like e-commerce, or you look for models in the consolidation of the healthcare industry, and how hospitals are merging and the vertical integration between doctor practices and hospitals. I mean, the next step is just vertical integration with the funeral home. The vertical integration of the healthcare industry is serving as a model for how the biggest big firms in this business vertically integrate.
Yep.
And handle everything that a Fortune 500 company needs in professional services. Sometimes dancing on the dotted line of regulatory code when it comes to mixing audit with legal advice or consulting, but they're finding ways to do it because that's how business works. It finds opportunities.
And there seems to be no shortage of them today. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out and the impact that it has on our profession. And I'm sure the conversation will continue. So, Rick, thanks for being here. And thanks as always for an enlightening conversation. It's always fun getting together with you and just batting stuff around. So I appreciate you taking the time to do that today.
My pleasure, Bill. It's been fun.
That was Rick Telberg, founder, president, and CEO of CPA Trendlines. If you want to learn, well, a lot of stuff about this profession, visit cpatrendlines.com. And if you're looking for some additional insight into the future of our profession, we being the Business Learning Institute, we have a couple of white papers about this topic, which are free, by the way. One for CPAs in public practice, one for accounting and finance pros in a corporate setting. They outline some steps that you can take to become future ready. You'll be able to take a short quiz to kind of gauge your own level of future readiness. So you can download those white papers for free at blionline.org. Just click on the products tag. And thanks for listening, folks. I'll see you next week.